Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. There was a certain amount of to and froing in Tehran today on the hostage issue, now 411 days old, but so far nothing conclusive. Tom Fennin reports.
The Algerian emissaries remained for some time at their embassy in Tehran after a 25-minute meeting with Ahmed Azizi, director of hostage affairs for the Iranian Prime Minister's office. Azizi was carrying a briefcase when he went to the embassy, but refused to tell CBS News whether it contained Iran's final proposals to the United States. The Algerians were expecting the proposals today and had made plans to leave the country tonight if they were received in time. Earlier today, Prime Minister Rajai met with the Swedish ambassador, who urged that the American hostages be released before New Year's Day. Rajai told the ambassador that Iran's final proposal had been prepared and that after it was sent to the United States, the United States could free the hostages before Christmas if it gave the required guarantees. Iranian government officials are still maintaining public silence on the details of their proposal. The Algerian emissaries, on the basis of earlier conversations with the Iranian negotiators, said they believe the financial guarantees that Iran is seeking from the United States apply primarily to the demand for the return of the Shah's wealth. It was an emotional issue for the Iranian negotiators, the Algerians said. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Tehran.
Iraq today is still reporting Iranian counteroffensives at several points. The latest communiques out of Baghdad say more than 50 Iranian soldiers died in a clash near the besieged oil refinery city of Abadan, and 17 others died near Susangird, which the Iraqis have been trying to take for a month. In each case, Baghdad referred to the Iranian troop movements as aggression and counterattacks. In each case, Baghdad claims success. But the war drags on, and Baghdad evidently does not expect it to end soon. Anxiety is rising in Northern Ireland today over the prolonged hunger strike by IRA men now held in the Mays prison south of Belfast. Doug Tunnell reports the latest from the Ulster capital.
The British government describes 26-year-old Sean McKenna's health as rapidly deteriorating. The provisional IRA claims McKenna can no longer hold down the salt water on which he has survived for 53 days. His fellow hunger striker in the Mays prison outside Belfast, convicted IRA man Tommy McKierney, is reportedly losing his eyesight. And still, they refuse the prison food three times a day. Seven have not eaten since October 27th. 33 more IRA prisoners have since joined in the hunger strike, all demanding that the British government grant them status as political prisoners and not just common criminals. But that is a demand Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher says she will not consider. Political status for the hunger strikers, British officials say, implies political status for the IRA itself. There is as yet no sign of a compromise, but all here seem to agree that every day the hunger strikers move closer to death, Northern Ireland inches toward yet another outbreak of sectarian violence. Doug Tunnell, CBS News, Belfast.
Mrs. Thatcher is also having trouble on an entirely different issue, reported from London by Dan Revive.
46 members of Parliament from the opposition Labour Party have denounced the salary that's to be paid to a new economic advisor to Prime Minister Thatcher. He's Alan Walters, a professor at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore and an advisor to the World Bank. He's British, and Mrs. Thatcher wants him here to help the government fight inflation, now running over 15% a year. To get Professor Walters, she's arranged a salary of $120,000 a year for him. The Labour Party protesters call that an affront to the British people, considering all the new limitations on civil service pay and all the layoffs in private industry here. Walters will be earning twice the salary of Prime Minister Thatcher. Dan Revive, CBS News, London.
President-elect Reagan has reportedly made two more cabinet selections. His choice for Secretary of Energy is said to be South Carolina's former Governor James Edwards, and James Watt, a conservative Colorado lawyer, reportedly is in line to become Secretary of the Interior. Transition sources say Philip Sanchez was the probable choice for Secretary of Housing and Urban Development until yesterday, when a problem came up that could block that appointment. The nature of the problem is not known. Sanchez is a Hispanic and former head of the defunct Office of Economic Opportunity. Mr. Reagan's chief of staff, James Baker, told reporters in Washington yesterday that Mr. Reagan is seriously considering declaration of an economic emergency soon after he takes office January 20th. Baker said the president-elect and his advisors feel it's extremely important to act quickly and decisively on economic matters. After all the stresses and strains of the past several weeks, the Polish Communist Party today seems to be in for some soul-searching. Bert Quint reports from Warsaw.
Poland's Communist Party addressed itself today to its crisis of identity. This is a tense time for everyone, an article in the party newspaper says, but the members of the Communist Party carry a special burden. They are faced with questions about their role, their place, and their stand. In the past, the article continues, many members found themselves in a political half-dream, obeying orders from the top and leaving the thinking to others. Now members share responsibility. The article says that changes have come so quickly that many party members don't know what to do. There are those, according to the newspaper, who feel threatened by the changes, who long for yesterday when they had their own rungs on the ladder and if they did nothing wrong would not fall off. Some opportunists engage in an ideological striptease. Some race to one political extreme, others to another. The article does not go into detail on this point, but reportedly about a fourth of the party membership has joined the Solidarity Association of Unions. That doesn't mean they necessarily have left the party, but it would indicate at least a division of loyalties. Bert Quint, CBS News, Warsaw.
An authoritative Soviet statement issued in Moscow this morning accuses the NATO allies of supporting chaos and anarchy in Poland. We'll hear about it from Bernard Redmond.
The commentary was published in the Communist Party daily Pravda and distributed by the Soviet news agency TASS. It was signed by Alexei Petrov. That's believed to be a pseudonym the Soviet leaders use on major statements reflecting the views of the Central Committee. The commentary said some leading members of the Western Bloc were prepared to step over the generally recognized norms of international relations and pass over from ideological intervention in Polish affairs to interference of a different kind. The Pravda and TASS article accused NATO of wanting to make the situation in Poland uncontrollable by the government and Polish Communist Party and to let Poland be engulfed by chaos and anarchy. The commentary reflects continued Kremlin concern about developments in Poland and about what Moscow sees as Western attempts to subvert the communist system. At the same time, Kremlin leaders consistently deny they intend to make any military moves against Poland. Bernard Redmond, CBS News, Moscow.
Another American citizen has lost his life in El Salvador's political turbulence. He's identified as Thomas Bracken of Las Vegas, a civilian advisor to the Salvadoran National Police. Authorities in San Salvador say Bracken was shot and killed by a subversive, their term for anybody trying to overthrow the government. Three American nuns and a lay worker were killed in El Salvador December 2nd. The United Nations General Assembly last night completed the main portion of its business for the year, but it may come back for a bit more in January. Richard C. Hotlett reports that much of this 35th session was essentially inconclusive.
For one thing, the great events of this fall were kept largely outside. The Assembly deplored the agony of Afghanistan by a large vote, but did not name names. The old problems of the Middle East, peace, Palestine, and Jerusalem were overshadowed by the new, unpredictable reality of war between Iran and Iraq. The Iranian hostage issue was not on the agenda. The crisis in Poland was a storm that did not break, but may still. The U.S. election was a factor. The Assembly could not take any real decisions until it was over. And then, with the change in administrations, it had to wait until next year, well into next year. The voting high water mark, a unanimous 144, was endorsement of Lebanon's sovereignty and independence. But Lebanon is still fighting for its life against internal and external divisive forces. Yet, Lebanon does have some practical UN help. The Security Council yesterday prolonged the stay of the UN peacekeeping force as a buffer against explosion. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, United Nations.
Militiamen operating out of Israeli-supported Christian enclaves attacked targets during the night in southern Lebanon. Beirut says they killed 8 people and destroyed 12 houses. The price of gold is mixed in Europe this morning, and the dollar is down slightly on the major overseas exchanges.
CBS News. The Air Force has released its environmental impact statement on the proposed MX missile system, calls the consequences manageable. I'm Richard C. Hautelet reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Undersecretary of the Air Force Antonia Chase told reporters this morning that the impact of installing this enormous system may appear severe in terms of a little developed area of the country, but she added, from a national perspective, the impact is not that large. Ike Pappas reports some sharp disagreement and a determination to appeal the issue to President-elect Reagan.
The opponent's letter asks Reagan to cancel the MX program because it will lead to what was called unparalleled environmental destruction and socioeconomic disruption in the American West. The opponent said the Air Force draft environmental impact statement released today leaves no doubt that tens of thousands of miles of rangeland would be ruined and valuable water resources would be depleted by the Mammoth MX project, which calls for the placing of some 200 mobile missiles along thousands of miles of roadways to be built in the valleys of central Nevada and southwest Utah. The Air Force today said it prefers this region for the MX because the area could support such an enormous undertaking, the largest construction project ever planned by man. The Air Force says the ecology of the area will be protected and water reserves preserved. The opponents will have their say during a series of public hearings to be held in Utah and Nevada starting next month. Today, however, one of the MX opponents summed up his attitude on the Air Force arguments for the system with one word. Hogwash, he called it. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Washington.
More news after this.
America has asked for Pennzoil since America learned to drive. Pennzoil, the asked for motor oil.
Here's Arnold Palmer. Back home in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, he remembers an old, old friend.
It was a Model T. I learned to drive in that car, counted on Pennzoil to take care of the engine. Today, I count on Pennzoil for even more, because now Pennzoil saves gasoline and in the weights people use most, 10W30 and 10W40, and they've done it at their regular price.
Gas-saving Pennzoil. Quality in every extra mile.
America has asked.
Secretary of State Muskie comes to UN headquarters within the hour to review the state of the world with Secretary General Kurt Waldheim, probably the last such visit before the Carter administration leaves office. There had been speculation that Muskie might bring some word on the release of the hostages, an effort which had deeply engaged Waldheim at the beginning of this year. However, Tom Fenton reports from Tehran that the Algerians, who've been acting as middlemen for the past month and more, may now have received the latest Iranian message, but if they have, they have not so far left Tehran for Algiers, which will send it on to Washington.
No one who has actually seen the demands is talking. The people who are closest to the situation and who are talking indirectly through diplomatic sources are the Algerian emissaries. And they say, based on the conversations they've been having with the Iranians for the past few days, the financial guarantees that Iran is demanding from the United States would apply primarily to the condition of the return of the Shah's wealth. They say that the Iranians seem to attach great importance to that, and that it's an emotional issue for them.
Chrysler Corporation says it is confident of getting initial approval for another $400 million in federally guaranteed loans. The struggling auto manufacturer will make the pitch this afternoon to the government's Chrysler Loan Guarantee Board in Washington. Stocks and other news after this.
This Christmas, when you buy a gift for a handyman, make it an investment in his future. Hi, Pat Summerall to suggest you invest in quality master mechanic tools from True Value Hardware Stores designed to last for years. Like their 12-piece 3/8 inch socket set for just $12.39, or the 15-piece high-speed drill bit set for just $26.95. All Master Mechanic tools and accessories are backed by a promise of satisfaction or a free replacement, and they are sold only at participating True Value Hardware stores.
Helen, don't buy that pain reliever.
Why not? They're all the same.
Check the labels.
Okay, 2 tablets of regular Tylenol, 650 milligrams.
Check the other pain relievers, too.
Bayer, 650 milligrams. Bufferin, 650 milligrams. Anacin. Oh, Wow, 800 milligrams. I didn't know Anacin had more pain reliever.
That's what makes Anacin different. More pain reliever and a special combination of medical ingredients.
I'm switching to Anacin.
Get the Anacin difference. Use only as directed.
The Reagan transition team today announced that the president-elect will meet January 5th with the president of Mexico, José López Portillo. Mr. Reagan's foreign policy advisor, Richard Allen, said the hour-long meeting in Juarez would concern such matters as immigration and agricultural trade, but Allen characterized it as a courtesy call. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones average is up 10.49, volume on the big board more than 33.5 million shares. The Dow Jones industrial average stands at 938.99, and the tape is running 5 minutes late. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News.